The Defenders. We're back to talk about it on the after show here. Episodes 3 and 4, Worst Behavior and Royal Dragon. Let's get into it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh boy, you guys. The fight! The fight! Oh my god! All right, I'm going to calm down. I'm going to introduce the show. The fight. Oh, my God. Guys, this was so... Oh, these were such good episodes. I'm Zach Wilson. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. The whole panel's back because we didn't even leave the studio, you guys. Amy's here.
Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm Amy Cassandra. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AmyCassandra_TV and AmyCassandra.com. And I think we're still a little bit on a high from we just finished watching them.
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing.
So good.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Nate Miller here. You can find me on all social media at DogLikeNate.
What's up, guys? My name's Candace Cruz, and you can find me on all of my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
And we're going to dive right into these episodes. Worst Behavior, Episode 3, and Royal Dragon, Episode 4. I don't know, guys. There's dragons everywhere. Fin Fang Foom theory still holds up.
He's trying really hard.
I see it everywhere. Oh,
yeah. I've literally, like, me and Jesse Klein, who will be also hosting the Defenders F show for our sister network, Black Hollywood Live. Me and Jesse have been talking about the Fin Fang Foom theory since we saw the giant hole in Daredevil Season 2. Because it's all like, right. Why do you need a hole that big? Because there's a dragon at the bottom of it.
And they did make mention of a dragon at one point.
They keep talking about dragons. There's a lot of dragon hints in this show right now. Just saying. I know Iron Fist has a whole dragon story to himself.
Yeah.
But, Fin Fang Foom. Just saying. Let's break down. Let's start with that. I've already started my crazy theories, and it's not even the only one I have today. Let's start with the first episode because they just got us together really quick. They started us out with some backstory that's just like, hey, she's really old. Hey,
hey there. Yeah, hit you over the head with it.
Yeah. Her in a Turkish restaurant, and then I'm just playing They Might Be Giants in my head. But for, like, I think enough people understood that reference. I don't need to sing on this podcast.
What? No, singing.
I think you should
welcome,
sing.
Actually,
Istanbul, please. Not Constantinople. No, it's Istanbul, and that's where I'll stop.
I was just getting into the groove.
I know.
Trust me, I've sang on after shows before. You don't want to go there. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans know what I'm talking about. Anyway, how did we get so off topic? Probably because I'm still excited about that fight sequence.
That was...
We gotta get to the fight sequence,
hallway number 18. But that's what we did all build to. We just need to get it out of the way. Guys, that fight scene was so good. Because we spent the most of the episode 3 like getting everyone there.
Mm-hmm.
That was basically it. We got like Jess and Matt in the interrogation room was beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel watching those two characters interact?
I love Jessica's sassiness.
Yes.
She's amazing. She says what she's thinking. She says it how it is. And Matt, I mean, she doesn't know Matt, obviously, so she's getting to learn about him, and there is no filter.
None.
It's just like, you know, and then when he takes her scarf, like, give me my scarf back. Like, she's just so clever and funny. But, okay, hold on, because one of my favorite things about Jessica Jones is when she talks to someone over the phone or in person as someone else. And it's just a completely different persona. And she's so amazing because it's just like, she's them. She's no longer Jessica Jones. She is, hi, I'm la la la. And we know how easy it is to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But to see Jessica do that.
Wait, what?
Like, as ladies,
we just get an admission. Did we just get an admission that it's really easy for women to lie?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's to take on different personas and explore different personalities.
Nate and I are sitting here like,
within yourself.
I have to question everything now.
How do I know you're not taking on a persona right now?
I mean, like, don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on her side. Don't look to me for help.
Amy is clearly one of the fingers of the hand, and I'm we need to watch our backs.
I'm the pinky. I'm fancy. It's pretty obvious. I love Jessica Jones, and I love everything she does, and she's just a freaking rock star.
She's so smart and strategic, and like I love the way she's so calculated, and you can see the gears turning in her head where she's putting things together, like. Her going to the actual architecture and like finding out and like interrogating him almost and flipping the table and playing up to his like just the little flirty banter like you're talking about. She's just so good.
The way they all got to the Midland Circle financial building was great because it fit for each one of them in the way that they approach everything. Jessica did it through hard PI research and like going undercover. Matt Murdock / Daredevil did it by using his heightened senses to follow somebody. And basically be a ninja about it, including hopping up a fire escape.
Although I mean, you have to credit Jess, too, because she figured out that he was following her and did the loop around to get behind him.
Look, she knows, not only
without him
one,
realizing while she, he's listening to her footsteps.
One,
so
she
she's
knows,
got a little ninja in there.
Yeah, she knows who he is, and he does not blend into a crowd.
No.
He's wearing
the cane alone.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, you can kind of hear him, too.
But then, and like Danny Rand just like, I'm gonna throw my weight, my money around, which I actually really loved, and we'll get into him and Luke, but then like, and Luke just like by caring about his community and like just like doing by following his word, and like he could have easily blown off the kids like thing about get my mom some lotto tickets, but he didn't. He did it because it was like the right thing to do and like a nice thing, just like being a nice guy, and that led him to the exact thing that he needed to learn.
And both of us were crying during that whole scene.
Like
I hear and I look over and we're both like crying.
So sad. So sad. And the thing is that Luke is one of those heroes that he really truly cares. There's no faking anything. I mean, not to say that others don't, but you can see it. I mean,
he empathizes.
He's been through some stuff.
He's very selfless. And it's basically the complete opposite of everything we've seen of Danny so far. That's part of the reason why I think Iron Fist got the reaction it is. Outside of, you know, production things and things of that nature, like just the character, it's kind of hard to like because at the core, everything that he did was very, very selfish. And even when he was saving people and doing good, it was still for selfish reasons and for revenge. And even at the table, he's the first one to tell you, these guys killed my parents. She killed my parents. He killed my parents. They arranged my crash. You know, like every time someone walks into a room and it's like, all right, we get it. You know, everything's not about you. And so that them having that sit down was awesome because it's like these two big forces of power that are on opposite spectrums. And it's just like what the mom said to him, Luke, because he's so selfless, he's on the other side of like, you've done a good thing, but you can't accept it as a good thing. It's not good enough. You got to do something else. So it's nice to get the team up is more than just them kicking some ass in a hallway. It's also like helping the characters grow too and develop. That's awesome. The dialogue in these three and four, it was just, it felt like I was reading a comic book. Like, all of the characters had such good personalities and the quips, like, back and forth. And it was, like, fast, but, like, natural. It was just, it felt great.
Yeah. I gotta say, like, the scene where they're in Claire's apartment and Luke is just, like, standing there in his yellow t-shirt. Something about that shot was, like, that is one of the most comic book things I've seen these shows do. Yeah. And that's, like, not even the biggest crazy thing. It's just a guy standing in a kitchen. But the, like, and it's such a simple wardrobe. But just, it was, like, that's Luke Cage standing there. Like, that's the same Luke Cage that I've read for years in comic form. But the way he spoke in that conversation to Danny and these two getting to know each other, and they of course have to like butt heads before they're going to be like BFFs.
Of course.
But the way he talked to him about like his privilege and like he's like, you're like a super rich, like you're a billionaire. Stop like acting like you're not, like, and you were born into that.
Well, it's just real. Yeah. Like, it would be weird for him not to address that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, and like, they easily could have shied away from that and skipped over it. Yeah. But I love that they didn't. Yep. I love that they, because Luke Cage wouldn't, he would stay there.
Well, that's also an important dynamic in their relationship in the comic books, because even when, you know, they do get bigger and Luke joins the Avengers and Jessica joins the Avengers and they still kind of do Heroes for Hire on the side, Luke is still, he's always, his foot is always on the ground, he's always close to the streets, and Danny is kind of like the bridge in between of where he's like still jet setting around and doing Iron Fist stuff, but he still is kept grounded by Luke. So it's like that symbiosis that works together really well. So I'm hoping that we're building towards that. Definitely looks like it.
Mm. Yeah. And it's fun that Claire is bringing them together.
That like, was awesome. Like, she knew immediately.
She was like, oh, okay.
It's like, oh, this guy really punched up. Like, his fist glowed, and she just goes, oh, no. I gotta call Colleen.
What I love so much is that, I mean, we've seen all four of these characters in their own right, and they're keeping very much the integrity of that, but also to see the chemistry between all the actors coming together, and we're finally seeing all of them, like what you're talking about with Iron Fist and Luke coming together, and like the chemistry is palpable, like you can feel it, and these, like, it's believable, which I appreciate, because a lot of shows sometimes you get two actors that are incredible actors, but it's almost hitting the mark, like missing a mark, but these, like, all of them, they have such a good dynamic that it's believable and makes you go into the screen versus like, oh, I'm watching four individual characters coming together to be the defenders. It's like, oh, I get it.
And see, the standards are so high because, well, with Marvel, obviously, you know it's going to be really good. With Netflix, you hope it's going to be really good, too. And, I mean...
You used to know. Sorry. Just throwing shade.
It's, okay. It's not... Iron Fist is not bad. It's not a bad show. It's not a bad show. There are bad TV shows. It's just...
Oh, yes, there are.
Our expectations were already so high after Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. So then when that's what we got, that's why we got the reaction. If they had did that first, it would have been like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah.
Because look at some other TV shows. See, I'm just saying. Yeah, Iron Fist gets a bad rap.
Yeah, it
does. It's also just easy to pick on.
It is.
I mean, but Danny's
and it's a little bit deserving, easy to pick too. On too. Yeah.
So it's more maybe the character of what it is, not necessarily the show itself. Yeah. It's the content of the show.
Yeah, but
well,
I mean...
some of it is the show itself, too.
Yes, but I'm trying to beat up any fair of the deaf here.
The Defenders so far, I mean, we've seen four episodes. For me, it's like, woo, it's way up here. So... it's interesting because, yeah, I mean, you have all of these characters coming together, and especially from episode 3 and 4, I mean, like, the standards are way high.
Well, to be honest with you, I loved 1 and 2 a lot, but this completely surpassed, which made me really happy, because after 1 and 2 of just kind of almost laying the groundwork, like we talked about in the last after show of, like, okay, we get it, here's all the moving pieces, here's where everybody's at, I was like... how the heck are they going to, you know, push the envelope, which they completely surpassed all of that with 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as they, like, here's the thing. It reminds me of that feeling the first time I saw the Avengers.
Yes!
Because in that, like, when they get together and when they fight, like, it made sense, but it also was like, they brought to life those moments so well that it was fun, but it also felt... the reason I compared Avengers, it felt right.
Yeah, it was a build-up.
Yeah, like seeing in that moment where Danny Rand is like over, he gets like just too, there's just too many of them, and he gets a little in over his head, and then Luke Cage just kicks in the door. And the way they fought together with like Danny, like, oh, these guys have guns, and he just like ducks behind Luke for a second while they fire, and then pops out to like ninja some people.
Yeah.
He also fought like Iron Fist in those scenes. Yeah. Like, well, I don't know whether Finn Jones just like finally having the time to train, because that was the whole thing, is he didn't have time to train properly before they started filming for Iron Fist, but now he's had more time to like get ready to train in these fight, how to fight, and or or if they just like had better stunt doubles and like, because there were a lot of those shots where you could not make out his face and like that. So it could have been him. It could have been a stunt double. And I actually just don't know how they laid out these sequences. But either way, it worked better. He looked like he fought. That was Iron Fist fighting.
And I also want to say, and more importantly, in contrast to some of the earlier scenes, like I was speaking to you before we got started, some like with the Elektra backstory stuff with her training, some of those fight scenes like where she was like with the practice swords and stuff, to me it looked really bad, and I don't know if that was part of just it being training, so maybe it's supposed to look like they're pulling punches.
Yeah, well, they are a little really bit because it's training.
WWE like complete miss, fly double flip backwards, like it looked a little bad. So then to see that fighting in Iron later in the boardroom, that was choreographed beautifully. Mm-hmm. That was great.
Wait,
so
even just starting and, that sequence with the suits.
Yes.
Yeah.
The suit fighting was some of the most beautiful fighting I've seen. Yes. The classiest. I just love that because, I mean, how often do you see that many guys in suits fighting?
And well,
you
got to
watch more.
There was a girl.
There were women in that.
There were a couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is the blonde, and then there is one in the board in the suits at the very end. So there were two women in there.
There was a couple on the board.
Were there?
I think there was at least two.
What I loved about that scene before they even started the fight was just watching Sigourney Weaver, Alexandra, standing there. And it was almost like a mom saying, "It's okay, honey. Like, I'm going to let you fight with me, but I get to win." Mm-hmm. It was almost her pulling out the cards of, like, demeaning him and kind of like, "It's okay."
Patronizing.
Yes, very much so. And it was just fun to watch the push and pull between the two of them before they even started fighting. Mm-hmm. It was so good to see that.
There was so much tension that you could just feel it through the screen.
She just casually sat on the table. "Please finish.
Please continue."
This is entertaining.
This is amazing.
Right?
She's so just calm while being unbelievably threatening.
Evil.
I want to go back to the beginning since we kind of skipped to all the way to the end of the episode.
Yeah. Well, we had to. Couldn't hold. back anymore.
But the Elektra backstory. So we know what happened after she died.
Yeah.
What Mr. White Hat recovers her body.
Yeah.
For Alexandra.
White Hat, or as we find out in these episodes, Sawande.
Sawande.
Mm-hmm. One of the fingers of the hand.
Five.
Not just like, I thought he was just going to wind up being like sort of like a grunt lieutenant.
Me too.
Like a but no, he's like high. He's as high up as Madame Gao.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just from a different, like the way we saw in Iron Fist, there are different branches of the hand. He's another branch.
Well, also, too, since we're talking about the hand, what does she say when she's talking to the guy cutting up the bear? She says one of them is, she's waiting on a response or something.
He's on his way.
He's on. Is that Bakudo? That she's
Bakudo's dead,
right? But she, if he's one of the fingers,
maybe he's coming back.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. So we got Gao, we know Sawande,
Bakudo,
herself,
Murakami,
the bear guy, and Murakami.
Mm-hmm.
So
Murakami is the one that we haven't met yet,
right?
Mm-hmm. That we're still waiting, right?
No, Murakami is the is the one that was kind of the bear.
Yeah, okay.
So we've met them all, with the exception of Bakudo and or if there's a replacement or if he's coming back.
Well,
so
Bakudo,
that's what I'm wondering.
Bakudo was in Iron Fist. He was the guy who got killed in Central Park in the Iron Fist show.
Right.
So like that finger is down.
But that's why I'm asking, because she still she mentioned five people. So that's what I'm saying,
she's the fifth
is there
one. Right?
Yeah.
Alexander's the
fifth. She would be,
Gao, Sawande.
Mm-hmm.
Bakudo.
Murakami.
And she would be the fifth one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm saying without Bakudo, are they bringing Bakudo back? Is there another one to replace him? Because she mentioned
that he's on his way.
Right, but she didn't say the name.
But also they used the last of the resources. They have no more resources as well.
So
how are they bringing him?
Or does she not know that he's dead? He's on his way back.
Like, but she doesn't say his name.
But
she just says
on his way back
she says
he's dead.
On his way.
But look at it, listen to that. He's on his way or he's on his way back. I'm pretty sure they're bringing him back to life.
But they ran out of resources, though. They used it for Elektra going into Black Sky. That was the last. That was it.
Maybe they need to do something else.
Maybe that's what we're waiting on.
Yeah.
Is trying to get more resources.
Guy? Yeah, that was. Let's talk about that for a second, because they're talking about, like, they used up their resources. Right. So, like, I think that must mean that, like, it's the last of this, like, regeneration energy that, like, thing. Whatever they had that they were harvesting
right.
during season two of Daredevil. All of that must be used up at this point. It was used to bring, because they used it on Nobu. Who we know, Murakami is basically the head of Nobu's branch, the Japanese branch of the Hand. So they used that up, bringing Nobu and then Black Sky slash Elektra back to life. So they can't do what they would normally do to bring people back anymore, which I guess is why Alexandra is so hard set on getting past whatever this Kunlun wall is, because there must be more of whatever they need on the other side.
I mean, she's used it multiple times, because if we go back as far as, you know, Jessica unearthed of all the documents, like, she's been around for
it was at least 1820, right? Was that the oldest one that we saw?
I would say even previously, because even the comment in the second episode or first episode where she's giving background on, like, Beethoven and everyone else that she knows. 17. And, like, even with when she was at the dinner in the beginning of episode three, where she used, what was
Constantinople.
It? Yeah. So, I mean, she has been dated back past that.
Yeah, they established that the Hand has been around since Pompeii.
Yeah.
Because
at least.
Because they ended least, up yeah. Pompeii.
They weren't earthquakes.
Yeah. I mean,
they were behind.
Yeah,
that.
As Stick was saying, it's just they've been around longer millennia. Than anyone can realize. So they've been there destroying, like, the idea, I guess, like, they caused the fall of Rome. They caused like the death of Pompeii. They're blamed for the nuclear accident at Chernobyl, and they're trying to create a new devastating event like that in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Basically to cover up what they're doing. And this all, like, connects perfectly for me. Like, I love the way that we built to this conspiracy, because it manages to fit so smoothly with not only bring all the Netflix shows together in a way that makes sense. Like, I think Luke Cage and Jessica Jones are the ones who are, like, outside of this, and they had to be really brought in. But Daredevil and Iron Fist both were building very clearly towards this. Right. But the others fit into it so smoothly that it didn't feel like a problem. And it's also because it's this secretive underground conspiracy, it perfectly makes sense why... Because you have to deal with this, why the Avengers have not been called in, why they haven't called Iron Man or Ant-Man or any of these people.
Do any of them have contacts?
Not that they do, but that's the thing. It's like, and they wouldn't in this circumstance because it's secretive, because they don't feel that they can tell anyone. But, like, it's so tempting. Yeah, well, it's so tempting with this kind of, like, huge, like, where they're like, threatening to level a city. There has to be a reason why you aren't calling in the big guns that you know exist in this world, that we've acknowledged exist in this
world.
But
what do you tell them?
And that's exactly it. But that's what I mean. Like, this conspiracy
and I think
fits, as opposed to, like, hey, there's some people, there's a big bad that we need to fight in the streets. Like, we don't have that. We don't need that.
We haven't got our MCU Easter egg yet.
Well, they've mentioned the incident.
Oh, no, I'm saying for this season, this series, not yet.
I think they mentioned the incident in episode two, very briefly.
Okay. Well, they maybe at some point when we get further along and they fully realize the scope of what they're dealing with, they will try to, or they may figure out a reason why not. But I have a feeling that that will be addressed.
Yeah.
But if it gets to be like a big visible issue, because even though they are going quote unquote loud with this, with the earthquake and moving the money quickly so that it's easy to detect, it's still relatively secretive. And, like, if you're looking from the outside, it doesn't really seem like there's much going on.
Mm. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Stick's hand.
Mm.
What?
Stick is such
painful.
Stick is so dope.
I was about to be really mad that he was going to get out of there with Alexandra in the room, Elektra in the room, and the other guy that was in the room too. I'm like, how is he going to get away from all three of them? Then he just cut his hand off and was like, yep, okay.
Yep, yep. That makes sense.
Yep, cool. You're badass. That's his
hand.
That's, it takes sacrifice.
His hand.
I do have to say, though, the prosthetic afterward It looked really bad.
It was
long.
Well, you get. I mean,
it's my fault for staring at it.
I think I was too grossed out by it to really, really.
There's only so much you can do. Like, if they'd had like the budget of like any kind of budget,
at least a little bit longer sleeve, so it looks like it's not like sticking all the way out, like it's a full hand.
This is the situation. Yeah, that looks pretty. Or a hook. Or a...
Is he going to get a hook now?
Okay, I'm going to go back to Elektra again, because we didn't even talk about Elektra.
Yeah.
Okay. So Elektra is not Elektra anymore, maybe, according to Alexandra. She's only Black Sky. But it seems like there's something in there.
It sounds like they wiped or blocked all of her memories of being Elektra. But she's still in the same body, and thus like she has the same brain. So those memories are still in there. Mm-hmm. They're still part of her biology, and that like memories are hardwired into like her brain, which still exists. So I think it's just going to be her slowly remembering what she used to be.
Yeah, I have to say that this, especially when she put on the red suit, this is the Elektra I've been waiting for. Before, it was good. Okay, she was a very cool character. She had some cool fight scenes. This is Elektra.
She
the
was
conflicted.
It was like
assassin.
Daredevil season 1 versus Daredevil season 2. Like there was like street level like black suit Daredevil where he's like, this is Daredevil in training, but then season 2 was like, that's Daredevil. Yeah. This is that's the difference. Elektra like in training versus like full-fledged Elektra.
And now I'm kind of glad that they had her in the black before and waited to put her in the red, especially with, you know, the Wakizashi that she does actually use in the books too when she changes, when she puts her her size down. So I thought that was a cool Easter egg too.
I like that they're like just like that she keeps lingering on the size.
It's just another thing that kind of reminds her of something.
Like when she saw Matt and like she hesitated. He knows that she hesitated.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said, memories are hardwired in the brain. And I also am, like, I believe that you're hardwired in your body. So in essence, if you smell someone or if you're near someone, that energy that you had exchanged at one point is still going to be like a muscle memory that you're going to have to like, I don't think she necessarily recognized him, but I feel like she at least felt that moment of like, questioning everything that she's relearned because in turn she went and like looked at the gunshots and like started questioning everything about herself because of that moment. I think at least I think that that was the trigger that made her start questioning things, because otherwise she's never been challenged with the new ideals that Alexandra's been putting in her head, just following along with what the hand tells you. Now you're like, why do I remember this person, or why is there a moment of hesitation that I didn't have before?
I'm sure it's just like a feeling that like she hasn't experienced because she hasn't seen anyone from her old life. So the first time she experiences, it's like, wait a minute, what is this like weird? Like, is that a memory? Is that what is going on?
And I think with Stick, that's like her dad. Her dad showed up and like addressed and like talked to her like he knew her because he did.
Yeah.
Like, what if you met somebody and they're like talking to you like they were your parents, like in that like very familiar way, but you've never seen them before.
Yeah, that'd be weird. That'd be really weird. Well, and I love the, well, not love, it's kind of terrifying, the relationship between Alexandra and Elektra Black Sky.
It's creepy. Dearest. Mommy Dearest is what I said while I was watching it. It was like the shot when they were looking in the mirror. I was like, that's very unnerving and eerie. And she just has that quality, though.
It's perfect.
Can't wait to see them fight.
Oh, the two of them. So you think Elektra is gonna flip back to the good side?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too far into predictions, but
I
think if I had to guess, she's going to get reminded in some type of way and end up like helping them, but I think have to die again or something, or maybe she has to take over the hand to like take them someplace else or keep them from doing
maybe
something else or something like that.
Do you mind if I get some crazy predictions out there?
Yeah, do it, man.
Because this is sort of my prediction for Daredevil season 3, so I could see us building towards it. But the Shadowlands story, I was talking with some people in chat about this beforehand. But Shadowland is a story where Daredevil takes over the hand and starts using them to protect Hell's Kitchen and New York City. I could totally see an end of this
season where they kill all five fingers of the hand, and then it's Elektra left at the top, but she's come back to the side of good, mm-hmm. and but like she sort of defers that to Matt because she doesn't trust herself, but she trusts that Matt knows what he's doing, and so all of a sudden Matt slash Daredevil is has this giant organization of ninjas to like
that's a great
to, like send the out and do good. And people are concerned about him. In that case, I think it was the Avengers because they send like Spider-Man and everything to be like, dude, yeah. you gotta
You're
like,
right? what's going
you
on?
Gotta chill. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. what's going on? But like you, now, you could send the Defenders or any one of them as a representative to be like, yo, Matt, you know, maybe bring it down a little bit, like mm-hmm. cool it.
Yeah. Well, like this is more into the fourth episode, but it's easy to see how all of them can just not lose their cool, but they get. I mean, they're only trying to save New York, like, right? Not a big deal. But they need to keep their cool. And mm-hmm. I feel like Luke was the only one to get his crap together and be like, it's fine. Like, we can do this. That's why, I mean, I'm worried about Matt because, well, he didn't even want to stay. And, I mean, he didn't leave like Jessica. But it's interesting to see how that's going to go. And then the fact that he didn't share, you know, that Elektra... Black Sky, whoever it is now, mm-hmm. is back. He didn't share it with the rest of them. So yeah. he's going to hide stuff
he
for sure.
He barely wanted to reveal his identity.
I know.
That was... Yeah. All right, let's talk about, like, all them getting together. Okay. Like, we talked about the fight sequence. I love that Matt was just like, here, give me your scarf.
He looks so
Give
funny.
Me your iconic piece of wardrobe.
And just put it on.
It was another perfect, like, when they've got into the shop where they're hiding out, like... The dialogue between them was just perfect for that scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the banter back and forth. You speak Chinese? And then she's like, she's so strong. Like them just making comments at yeah. each other because they don't know each other at all. And they just did no. this fight and they just escaped. And like, it was just great to see. It was a really good, like...
Yeah, as N in the chat says, one of my favorite lines is when Jessica tells Matt, if you grab me like that again, yeah. I'll punch you so hard you'll see.
I wrote that down. I love it. Yeah. Well, wait, later, it's Luke and Danny. Luke says, you're still eating? Well, it takes a lot of energy to summon my chi. I feel like we should all use that. If someone's judging our eating habits, like, just say that.
I'm summoning my chi.
Yes, they just it takes a lot of energy.
Constantly making jokes about Matt being blind. So, aren't you blind? Like, how did like?
Because it's crazy. Danny cannot believe it. Yeah, if you really think about it, like crazy.
It is. It's just funny because like I mean, as a viewer, we're like used to it, I guess. But it's just so funny. It's just constantly.
Yeah.
The egos of everyone trying to one up each other is fantastic.
And Jessica's just like, shut up, you guys are crazy.
When she said, "I'm classy."
Yeah.
It's great.
I really like, again, it's a really good character motivation. You know, we've seen the buildup, watching Matt talk about the hand and mm-hmm. wanting to not get involved. Like, because we've done the investment of the first two seasons and what he's been through, we know what he's talking about. It's like, we know exactly where he's coming from. And it's really cool to see his reaction versus, like, Danny's and everybody else's. But I love the way that they all came to the, you know, were to the team, essentially. Mm-hmm. And, like... Matt and Danny are already kind of in. Mm-hmm. Luke cares about the city, and it makes sense for him to want to get involved because he wants to protect people because he keeps hearing that all these people are in danger. He's like, I don't care about everything else, but if people are going to get hurt and I can do something, I'm going to be there. Makes sense for the character. For Jessica, it makes sense for her to be like, nah, this is way more than I was into, and for her to leave and but still do her detective thing and then come around full circle when she figures it out. To be like, holy crap, maybe they're telling the truth. This is, like, all these questions. And
well, and when so she perfect. Sees that, like... Because for her, the city getting destroyed is too big for her to really care.
Like, it's that's just too not abstract something for her to, to be, like, to take as a serious threat that I need to respond immediately. She's like,
I think that's the perfect thing. Because, like, I think she would be the first one to be like, oh, it's a huge citywide thing. Call the Avengers. I don't care. But, like, when she sees... Something she sees her, sort of herself in this family that has now like this daughter who has now lost her father, and she's like, these people need protection, and she can see that she can make that difference, the same kind of difference she made fighting Kilgrave, mm-hmm. she can make that difference for these people by fighting the hand.
I think that's always been her motivation, though. I think it's always been more of like a one-on-one personal, because she sees herself in someone. And then on top of it, if you've been insulted at the same time and just pushed so far, mm-hmm. you're like, okay, I give up. Like, I'm going to like fight. So I think for as much as Luke is all about Harlem and the town and like all the people within that city and the city, I think she's very much motivated just by individuals, like one person. I don't even think it was a mom. I think it's a daughter. That moment she had on the steps with the daughter, I think was her turning point, where she's like, I'm going to take care of you. I don't know how, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
Where they had that moment and not even say anything. It was just like, yeah.
Well, I love that she threw the freaking car. We all thought that she drove into the restaurant. But no, she's walking out. She's like, yeah. Like, she freaking threw it. Ah,
I loved it until she walked up to them and posed. And I was like, I loved it. It's so cheesy.
I still love it.
Don't get me wrong. It looks great. Visually, it looks great. But it's just so, like.
Give me the cheese, because I
like cheese.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. If anything, she should have been like, what are you guys doing? They're all, like, standing there posing.
I will say, though, Daredevil's pose where he just went and just held his fist there. I was like, what are you going to do with that?
Well, he's like, he's
like, you're just like this.
He's in a fighting stance. He's ready.
It
he's
was like, not a fighting stance. If someone came at me with like that, I'd be like, what are you doing?
Just, no.
That's exactly what they're trying to do. He's trying to lull right, exactly. you into that's a false sense of security.
We're
going to
hope that that's what special he was doing, because otherwise technique. It would not help.
But it was like, there was, I did, like, I'll accept the little bit of cheese of, like, her walking in, because, like, you get that, it leads to that moment of the lineup at the end with Stick, like, you have Stick in the middle, but, like, the Defender's just like, all right, dun-dun-dun. Let's do this. It was so perfect. Like, it was right.
I'm not, I, yeah.
Nate's not.
It's okay.
It's okay. It was okay.
Yeah. It's fine.
It's good. It looked great visually.
My other favorite visual moment was the elevator closing. Please end the episode. Please end the episode after you shut the doors, and it was perfect.
Yeah, that whole scene was choreographed really, really well.
That gave me chills.
Yeah, that was
them fighting.
I loved Alexandra like ninjaing into the room.
Right, where everyone's looking the other way.
Like, everyone's looking the other way, but like theoretically, Matt and Stick would have been able to sense her coming in, because they're not as directional as everyone else, because they're just like hearing 360. They're not looking in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
But she just appeared.
Yep. I like to point out that I believe it was Stick who actually picked up I think her scent.
But even then turn. Not until she was sitting
already.
Not like she stepped in the room, she was sitting.
And she would like, because she would have been a familiar smell to Stick, but Matt it was just like an aberration,
and it would not only familiar but a recent too, because he just escaped there.
See, I love that they still incorporate everyone's own like specific characteristics. So Danny says, oh, is that pork? And Matt's like, no, that's shrimp or whatever, or chicken. And it's like, there's certain things that, I mean, they're small, but they're very much appreciated, because obviously Matt can smell things. Like, he's a freaking amazing dude.
That's to me where you really get the comic book essence, because it's so much a comic book thing to do, to have the panel, and like, you've got the main dialogue bubbles for like what's going on, and then you got the little bubbles in the back where it's just the two characters talking, making a joke about superpowers or something that you can only make in a comic book, and it just feels good.
I love it so much.
I liked ZS Luwop in the chat. Imagine Punisher seeing them pose like that. Exactly. Be like, what, WTF, for God's sakes.
I could see that.
Oh, what are you guys, what are you doing? And he just cocks a giant rifle and shoots the hand people in the face. The Punisher. Basically. He's got his own series. Everybody relax.
It's coming.
See, and right now we're only halfway
through. This is only halfway through. And now it's like, this is like, episode 3 was like, oh, we hit the ground. Like, it took 2 episodes to sort of hit the ground. And not in a bad way. It was just like, it was building, and it had to build that way.
It worked.
It
worked,
felt good. But episode 3, they just hit the ground running. And episode 4 kept it going. I love the, like, because beyond just the fighting stuff and the cool, like, moments outside, the emotional moments between these characters in episode 4 especially felt great. I love, like, I say that specifically to bring up, like, Luke and Jessica. Because they see each other, and, like, the directing in these episodes was also, I just think, just, like, very smart and, like, detailed, and, like, this... When Matt and Jessica enter the hallway at the top floor, mm-hmm. also, I love that Daredevil rushed up the stairs.
And just she's like, yes! Like, ding.
Just like, idiot.
Like, come on. Dude. But it was a very, very specific way of entering.
When
it
spills out into the hallway, you see Matt just dive right in. Mm-hmm. But Jessica freezes and is just standing, hands at her sides. Not just because, like, she's not going to just wade into a fight, but, like, because she sees Luke. Yep. And if you look, you can actually see her reaction all the way in the back, just like, are you kidding?
Yep.
My ex is here?
Awkward.
But this is not happening.
Yep.
I love them together, but...
They have such good chemistry. Ugh.
Yeah.
Even the talk outside in the alleyway, I was just, oh, please.
Yeah, I want to bring that talk up because that was like one of the few times in the series that you see Jessica give a genuine smile after seeing Luke. She gives that smile to him and where it's like, you know, take care of yourself. And she's like, yeah. I thought that was great. I love that scene.
Only Luke could do that to her, at least so far.
There's still love there, guys.
Yeah, there's.
I'm fighting for it.
Definitely Luke could only do that to her.
Look, I'm a huge as I said in our first episode, I'm all about Juke. I've decided to name
Juke?
Them. Juke.
Juke. Okay, got it. I love all your couple names. They're great. Fantastic. Juke.
The moments between them when it's just like, it was nice seeing you. First of all, we've all had that moment with an ex where you're just like, you want to say something more, like more, but you're just like, it was nice seeing you, and then you leave because you're like, I don't know what else to say here.
Well, I love also when they're in the Chinese restaurant, they're just talking about the other people, meeting like Danny and Matt, and they're just like, oh yeah, this one, he has an iron fist, oh this one's black, like they're giving each other not tips but informing them about what's going on. It's just like old buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so real. Like, it takes you out of the superhero-esque and just brings you to two people that are exes that are in a room like, what the hell are we doing right now?
Yeah.
It's just like the two of them understand each other on a different type of level where they know that they've both been through the ringer.
Yeah.
And they both like, but they both also came out of that with superpowers, which changes how you are like moving forward. Like they both have a certain amount of invincibility about them. Like Luke a little more than Jessica. But, like, they both can just, like, walk into a room and be the strongest person there most of the time.
And they have street smarts.
Yeah.
Versus the other two were trained.
Yeah.
Right? So the other two are trained and have gone through this whole process versus Jessica and Luke are just, like, go, thrown into this. This is your life now. And, like, figure it out.
Yeah. And there's a certain kind of personality trait that you have to have to make it through that and not be a total jerk about things, you know? Like, they're great people. I mean... Yeah, Jessica's sassy, but she's not a witch.
No.
So, also, okay, Alexandra fighting. I think it was Black Sky earlier in episode 3. I want to say, the way she fought was so different because she's, I mean, Sigourney Weaver's really tall. So, just to see the way she fought, it was classy. It wasn't, she didn't struggle at all. And it was just, it was a super powerful kind of fight that I hadn't seen before that I want to see again, which I'm sure we will.
That you're talking about at the top when Elektra first like bursts out of the Black Sky vessel.
Yeah. It was so, and she barely even got messy too because she's wearing all white. And I just wrote, I just love how Alexandra fights. She's...
It was elegant.
Yeah. Almost. Yeah.
I think that's a good way to describe
it. Yeah. And then later, I don't know if this is a foreshadowing for something with mirrors, but in the scene where Alexandra, I think it's right after she takes the pills that, it, like, somehow help her not die, we see the shot from, like, her, and then it pans over to the mirror, and then the shot is... It's her, but we're seeing her through the mirror, and then it goes back to her, and then it goes down, and then there's a mirror, and it's her reflection on the mirror. I'm like, what is this? Like, yeah, I don't know. Too.
I was waiting for something else to be in the mirror. But
yeah, I thought someone was going to jump out.
Or that she wasn't going to be there because she was a vampire or something weird.
She was crazy. Like,
well, she's a reflection of herself, because how many times has she died and come back?
Okay. All of a sudden,
Blade shows
up. So many times removed.
No.
She did in 3, she did say how many times she's seen the black in the darkness.
Okay. No, you're right. You're right.
She did say she's seen it multiple times. She never alluded to how many, but if she's been around for that long, she had to have died at some point within that time frame.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Well, this is sort of what I got from it. Like, we see her cool suave personality in front of a lot of people. And this was a very private and intimate moment by herself. Mm-hmm. And I think what the reflection in the mirror is what it's trying to tell or, like, say or communicate in a sense is that this is a real reflection of herself. Like, she is dying, and we know that, and she knows that. And it's at the very, like, deepest and, like, hardest level that she's realizing, like, my time is coming. And you're seeing that in the reflection. Like, she's not hiding herself in the reflection. The reflection is her true self. And we're seeing a part of herself that she's afraid. She's afraid to die. And that's what I think the whole series is revolving around, is her trying not to die. And this moment shows this specific intimate moment of her being to the core, like, person. Like, I know she can be evil and cool, but to the core being of her, like, character, this is it. She's going to die, and she's trying to stop that. And she's doing everything she can to stop that. And I think that's what the mirror represents.
That's, that's the hand, too, in general. Like, that's their main mission. That's why they were thrown out of Kunlun, is because they wanted to take what they knew in order to give themselves immortal life. So that's why they say... What did they say? It's for the service of life? For life itself?
In the service of life itself.
Right, so that's their way of saying that everything that they are doing is for life. So that the leaders, and I'm assuming a lot of the others, also live, if not eternally, long lives, longer than they should. So that's what it seems like. That's not only is it personal for her, but that's just the core of their organization all around. Is this just about life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting. I'll be interested, rather, to see how they go about, like, getting that towards and handling that. Everyone is doing these things. Like, we get the guy, like, carving up the supposedly extinct bear, bear from Japan
that he killed with his bare hands after sparring.
Bare hand. There's too many.
I tried to get past it.
You did not get past it. You were trying to skirt it, and we are waiting for it.
It's okay. Gonna happen.
He said he sparred with it.
I don't think how
that implies that he was just practicing fighting the bear.
And the bear was nice in the fight. No.
The question is, like, what is he going to do with the bear? Like, he was taking out its organs and, like, jarring specifically. He took, like, the bear's heart and put it in a jar.
I was expecting him to, like, eat it or something.
I think he is going to use it to prepare some kind of, like, medicinal or, like, power boosting something. I don't know enough about that character specifically, but
to talk about that scene between the two of them, though, the power dynamic was very interesting. And I'm wondering what has happened between the two of them that they were skirting around. Of him talking about her leadership and basically, like, slapping her in the face.
Well,
with it.
The way I got it was that he is, like, she may be the head and, like, technically the leader of them. But he is the powerful one. He's like the
actual hand.
Yeah, he's the middle finger, the long, strong one that says "F you." I've got ninjas from Japan.
You're like, really trying to go around this pun too.
I am. but he is.
Come on, Nate.
No, I'm not gonna do it.
Do it.
We're gonna break you between now and tomorrow.
He is the foot that kicks their enemies. Thank you, Anthony.
So we're in Ninja Turtles. Area now.
Well, it seems like they've all kind of got
the foot.
Their little branch that they're dealing with. So it seems like Gao is. I mean, she must be in the business side because she was involved with Rand and all that stuff, I'm guessing. And I guess what's his name? Sawande. Is
that was close.
Seems like he's on the street level. I don't know if he's
It's a question of like what his plan is.
Yeah, because we haven't seen enough of him, so I'd like to see more.
Yeah, I think we will get more of him and more of like what the Five Fingers of the Hand are attempting to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the question is whether they can come together to form one fist.
Also, I don't know if you guys caught it too. Stick, he did. What is it? He gave a little tidbit on Sawande. Mm-hmm. How he's like, if you go after him, he'll like pretty much knock you on your ass. And he told that to Luke Cage. So I mean, I'm sure
he'll knock the breath out of you before you even get near him or something. Yeah. Slow your heart rate or something.
They're all force to reckon with.
Despite the fact that he dresses more like a blaxploitation like era like villain.
Yeah, he looks like a Bond villain.
He's still from like a ninja clan,
right?
So he's got to be able to fight.
He's an African warlord.
Yeah.
I
wonder if he has some voodoo of some sort or some type of like power. If he can slow your heart rate, he's got to have something.
That's racist. Straight to voodoo. He learned from the hand. He's probably got some like five
mind
fingers
control.
Of death, like you know, Kill
mind
Bill thing.
Control.
I'm telling you, that's what's gonna happen. He's gonna fight Luke, and a bunch of ninjas are gonna run up and like do nothing to him, and then he's gonna like go, like hit his heart, and then he's just gonna be like, and like fall over, and then you're gonna be like, how do we save him? He's hurt on the inside. Because that's the only thing you can do with Luke, because it has to be something like that.
They did a little bit of that in Jessica Jones. Like, that was how Jessica first got, like, met Claire.
It's unfortunate, but he is a little bit on the Superman syndrome just because it's so hard to hurt him.
Yeah, but, like, if you do, like, that's the thing, like, in the comics, like, the only way that if Luke Cage has internal injuries, they're going to have to go down to, like, Greenwich Village to the movies and call up Dr. Strange.
Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Strange,
to, like, open a portal.
That's exactly it. Doctor Strange is the only one who can operate on Luke Cage because he just like creates like fake mystic hands that can go in and perform surgery without opening him up.
Yeah.
We don't have access to that kind of budget to get Benedict Cumberbatch, so he's just got to try to not get hurt.
You never know.
We already have Sigourney Weaver.
This is true.
Probably.
Yeah, I could get a feature. Get a little guest spot.
At least once. All right, so... why don't we move on? We've been predicting all episode. I don't even know if we need to get into it. But should we move into some predictions here, guys?
I think we covered everything.
Yeah. Now,
we have the music.
We got the music, though, so that means we have to.
Oh, man. All right. What are you guys thinking?
You take it away, because you're pulling up the notebook ready to go. Yeah. So.
My big prediction, I still think like we're going to wind... like, I stand by what I said earlier with Shadowland, I think, is where we're going. I think it's going to be mainly in Daredevil Season 3, but I think this season ends with the five... like, to reiterate, the five fingers of the hand all dead, including Alexandra... and Elektra sort of like the default leader, but she passes it over to Matt. So that by Daredevil season 3, Matt Murdock is the head of the hand.
I would like to see that. I could definitely see it going in that direction. Mm-hmm. It is a really cool story, and the way they resolve it is really cool.
And
story.
Like what? And
but it's going to be interesting without Avengers.
What'll be really interesting about that is if Stick makes it through this show, are the Chast going to be fighting fighting the hand still if Matt is in control of them?
Do you think Stick's going to make it through the show?
I don't think so. But I'm just saying.
Hand down. One
he's
hand
the only one left, down. So
somebody's got to die.
I caught it.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
One hand down. I am hoping to see Karen Page at some point.
May have filled her quota for this show.
I don't think so.
No, I think she'll be back.
I don't think so.
I think we're going to see a little bit more of her. All
right, maybe.
She is going to be back. I missed Trish this episode.
Yes.
I missed Foggy. Yeah, I feel like we're gonna... what? Do you know something?
No, you finish. No. Not it wasn't that I know something. It's that you reminded me of another prediction.
I'm a huge fan of... I wouldn't call them sidekicks, because I don't think they are.
Supporting characters.
They're there hero support.
Yes!
Ah, hey! Hero support.
Put us together and what do you get? Hero support.
Yeah.
They're sidekicks.
The sidekick. Where's that that one movie? From here.
Sky High.
Thank you. Sky High.
That's oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, wow. I love it. Throwing it back that far.
Proud I didn't get that reference.
Yeah. So I miss them. So I'm sure we're going to see them at some point because they're doing such a good job about bringing everyone, even supporting characters,
yeah,
into the Defenders.
But that's why I think for the most part, most of them like did their name checks. I don't know. Foggy, I think, might come back, but I think Karen's
totally going
to
come back.
I think that she did enough to like bridge the gap, show us what happened, like because of how Daredevil season 2 ended with him being like, Karen, I'm Daredevil. So we sort of had to like pay a little bit of like service to that storyline. But I really think I think Trish could come back and like dealing with all kinds of like demon stuff here with the hand. Mm. If this is how Trish winds up in hell, Hellcat?
No, I think that maybe Shadowland. We'll get that.
That's
maybe
too
let
much
me get
for...
a little more. I think that's too much for this.
But we only have 4 more episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so they're going to fit a lot.
I do think
episodes.
We are going to get Karen back. I think not as a lot, but I think
something.
Her reporting in some way is going to help them in some way. Just like I think it's the same thing with Trish.
Amy's just like dancing at me like, no.
That's right.
Well, there's no way we're going to get that set up about Trish getting the call from the studio and not get some type of follow-up. So I think that, you know, because Trish is not going to be like, oh, okay, I won't talk about it. You know, she's going to be like, why? Why? Yeah. She's going to keep asking questions. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely going to get more of her. And to be honest, because they are sidekicks, it's very likely one of them gets captured or something and they have to be saved or something.
Foggy.
Well, yeah, because those are their Achilles heel for all of the Defenders. I mean, someone's got to get captured for them to fight a little bit more.
Did Matt say, you know, it's not just about us, it's the people that we care about that are also going to be put in danger.
Foreshadowing! We're on the same wavelengths, guys.
Yeah.
I feel it. See?
That was a beautiful moment that just happened.
Yeah, that was.
I hope
you guys enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.
Candace, any theories as we wrap up?
You guys pretty much covered all of it. I think my only thing that I'm excited about seeing is when we figure out the five elements of the hand and really kind of get into all the other fingers outside of Alexandra.
Yeah.
And figuring out what their role is and how they either come together or what's their demise, whatever way it plans out. So it's pretty much where I'm going to leave it.
All right.
I don't want to win.
Thank you guys for joining us. Any
the
last moments that you guys like that we didn't get to mention that you really loved? Because there were so many in this, and
there
I'm sure that we missed.
Little moments.
I'm sure that we missed a couple. If you guys had anything that you really like, you guys watching, if there were any things that we missed that you love that you want to talk about more, be sure to put it in the comments below because we'll be able to see that and like then talk, keep the conversation going.
Yeah, I have something. I noticed that there were a lot of more close-up shots of people. Mm. So Matt and Jessica, the close-up shots in the interrogation room were very nice because I don't think we get that much close-upness. We haven't gotten that before.
It's a very there's a very Daredevil angles. There's a lot tighter close-ups and stuff.
Yeah.
It's and I noticed with the episodes now that it makes a lot of sense that the Daredevil cinematographer is the one who took over because especially after watching the first episode where you can see the different styles to see them kind of blend together, there's definitely much more influence from Daredevil, I think. Mm-hmm. But I like that a lot because I think Daredevil has more of a film look, whereas the other ones look a lot more like TV shows.
Yeah.
But we also got what I think is...
Well, like the director of episode 3, for example, Peter Hoare, he directed also 3 episodes of Daredevil season 2.
Yeah.
Including like episode Penny and Dime and the finale, A Cold Day in Hell's Kitchen.
Nice.
And he directed 1 episode of Iron Fist.
Okay.
So like there again, there's just more like taking
it's
the people
team,
that built this universe and keeping it like working forward. Yeah.
MCU.
The other, the last shot that I really do love was when they were actually just in the restaurant and just sitting there. Like, it was so simple.
I hate that. I hate that circle shot.
I love it.
It's so not creative.
We like, gotta stop this.
I like it. I know.
So,
I understand
there
what
are so
saying.
Many better, more creative ways to shoot those types of scenes. But from the logistics standpoint, I understand why they went with that. given a lot of the other things in the episode, I don't think it doesn't look bad. It's not anything
groundbreaking, but I like it. It's just like a way, it's just like a nice movement. It keeps a little movement to the scene. It keeps the energy. And
they're together in this, in a circle together.
And the simplicity of it. I feel like there didn't need to be any action with that. You needed to have them set the groundwork of like their relationships, and I feel like that was the best way to do it. I don't know. I personally loved the shot. So
I do want to mention what I think now is officially the signature Jessica Jones shot, which is like it's like a over the shoulder where she's centered and somebody's following her and she's looking behind, which like what's watching it again this episode, I was like, man, they use that a lot in the series. I just realized because that's a very,
she's always being followed.
She's always looking behind her back, which I mean, it makes a lot of sense for her character, but it was just so funny seeing that again. It was almost like, I feel like they took this exact frame from the series and just put it in here and just kind of edited it. Yeah. It would just fit perfectly.
Also, now that we're on camera angles and all that, I'm still not sure how I feel about all the Dutch angles going on.
I love it.
I don't know, man. Especially like, usually they're supposed to translate something, and I think they just toss them in there, and they feel so empty. Like
it's a staple of the Daredevil shooting style, especially, okay.
But also the book style.
Yeah,
the books have always been that. Even if they've changed artists, just the ongoing theme of Daredevil has always had that kind of avant-garde style in the framing of just as the panels.
As does Alias, the book that Jessica Jones is based on. But like for Daredevil, it's like it puts the world at a different perspective, because for Daredevil, he's not seeing the world, but hearing the world in a very different way. So especially because using the Dutch angle, which is and the tilt shift effect, which is when you see like the focus like in parts of the frame completely off, even shift on the same plane, that is very much to drive your eyes towards certain things, the way that Daredevil is listening to certain things.
Okay, in that respect, then that's pretty cool.
I like them. It's something that they use a lot in Daredevil. Exactly. So I like them continuing it here. Right. And not using it necessarily as much,
exactly,
but especially when Daredevil is involved in a sequence.
I think they do it just enough that you notice it, but it's not like overbearing.
Yeah.
And within the Daredevil world, I think it is kind of overbearing, but it makes sense because of the context. So they did a really good translation, just because he's just part of the formula, but not the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, guys. On that note, I think we're going to wrap up our second after show covering episodes 3 and 4 of The Defenders. The show got me right here. I'm hitting my heart for those of you who are only listening to this. But thank you so much for joining us again. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to hit that thumbs up button. It helps raise helps other people find it helps us out at the network. Hit us in the comments below. If you're on the live chat, like let it refresh after it ends, then you can leave a comment, cause then we can see it later. And we'll check it out and we can keep the conversation going. Hit us on Twitter with your thoughts. I will talk about, I don't know, I can't speak for these guys, but I have a feeling, talked to them for several hours, that we'll all keep the conversation going. So hit us on Twitter. You can find me on all social media at @ZachWilson, that's Zach with a C-H. I'm so happy that this show is fun. And let's keep going. Amy, where can
you go? Hi, guys. I'm Amy Cassandra. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @AmyCassandra_TV and AmyCassandra.com. And we'll be back here tomorrow, so you don't have to wait too long, guys. Don't worry. You'll see us again.
The question is, do I go home and watch it right now, or do I wait until before we come in to watch it then?
Watch it both.
I know, it's probably. I gotta turn autoplay off, though. You know what's going on, guys? Again, this is Nate Miller. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @DogLikeNate. That's dog with 2 G's. And please tweet me also. I'd love to argue about comic books.
Yes, please tweet and follow me on both Twitter and Instagram at @CandiceRCruz.
All right, guys. Well, as we said, join us tomorrow, Sunday, the 20th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. We will be doing the after show covering episodes 5 and 6. And then we're gonna go and watch episodes 7 and 8. And then afterwards, join us at 10 p.m. Pacific time for the finale, where we're gonna cover the last 2 episodes. Oh, I'm so excited. This has been the Defenders After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.